Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Care to Read Room. You've got your Omiyanika 7 live coming to you straight from my studio. I'd like to welcome my old friends by saying Habari Gani and my new friends by saying Alafia. Come right in and have a seat. Our topic is what are the benefits of being a tribe, a sweet relationship. We're going to be talking about getting back to our roots and the benefits of how we used to embrace each other in healthy relationships, sweet, sweet relationships, and sweet understanding. And most of all, ladies and gentlemen, I want you to understand that what I'm getting at is that there once was a code of ethics that we used to hold, and we used to carry out a certain type of way that we treated one another. And we made our brother's problem our own, and we treated our brothers the way that we wanted to be treated. In other words, we had a sweet, sweet spirit towards each other. And we can get that back. We really can. And not just talking about it in this room, but we can work towards making a change in the eightfold path. And I'm going to take you down another path that is deviating from the traditional religion that you normally are worshiping under. And we're going to try to come out of religion and go into a way of life. Now, Buddhists had a way of life. The Buddhists had a way of life, and he believed in the Eightfold Path. And his way of life is good for all human beings. It's good for all Homo sapiens. And it's good for us because we develop a personal relationship with our higher self. And we begin to pray to our higher self so that the Godhead who's laying dormant within inside of us, who is sitting there waiting for us to take up residency with him, we develop a way of life of cultivating that God on a daily basis so that we can begin to have an awakening. And that's what we're having in here is an awakening. And I don't know how many of you ascribe to Buddhist belief, but we all are Buddhists, and we all have a desire to have a peaceful universe. So we're going to go on that Eightfold Path. And as we begin to take our time today to focus in on meditating on a better vision for ourselves and a better life and more peaceful planet, we begin to have a sweet, sweet spirit and develop relationships that are more sweeter and more loving. Don't you want those relationships and friendships that are outstanding? That's what makes us rich. Not the amount of money you get or have in your bank account or how much money you're planning on pulling in this year, but the amount of good relationships that you have. Those are the things that make us rich, and we're going to aspire to those things, and we're going to get upfront and personal with you and talk about how we can aspire to those things, and I'm going to be able to narrate you and facilitate you and show you how it's possible to have the best things in life. Stay tuned. Following the leader. I am your empress. I am your advocate. And I am your Maliwa. I'm here to serve you. Whatever you like, I'm here to serve you. I am your servant. And that's why I find it so necessary to guide you on a path of the Eightfold Path. And I spoke briefly a minute ago about the Buddhist Eightfold Path. And don't think it's strange that we go through schools of thought. Now, I told you before I was salubrious diversity, and that I'm open for all paths and all directions of how we can find a way to have a more peaceful planet and how we can develop a sweeter attitude and become more awakening. And I found that Buddhism will awaken you. It will challenge you to a few things by making your brother's problem your own. And it will also challenge you to a more communal lifestyle where you work for the betterment of the whole. And that's what we're working for in this new millennium. We're transitioning to work for the betterment of the whole, meaning we will develop our own personal spiritual selves and develop them through chanting, meditating, and going to our altar and calling on our ancestors for assistance. And we will utilize whatever technician or whatever technique or whatever religion out there that helps us to make it through. And that's all religion is here, to carry you over the bridge. And when you use that ladder to carry you from one school of thought to the next, then you can take that bridge down and you can go on to another level in your life. You don't want to get stuck on frozen viewpoints and go around saying that you can't learn anymore or refuse to accept any new schools of thought. I'm open to the Buddhist schools of thought because it's a way of life. It's not like giving me another deity to worship and bow down to, because it becomes a way of life of bettering myself. And you're going to have to learn to better yourself. We're in these churches, and I'm saying we're in these dead churches, and we're not bettering ourselves. We're not developing a balancing act of lining up our chakras. We're not developing our clairvoyantism where we can see into the lives of ourselves or our loved ones. We're not even understanding what our moon is and understanding that our zodiac sign determines how we balance ourselves and how we are doing health-wise. We're not looking at any of these great things that our Creator put down here on this earth for us. We have to utilize them. He gave us many religions so that we can become diversified, not so that we can get stuck on frozen viewpoints and start cohabitating on the religion and taking it on as our own. We must find the truth in all denominations. There are many prophets, and we recognize all the prophets in here. We acknowledge all of them. And we're not stuck on any frozen viewpoints. So when you hear Omi talk about the Buddhism and the way of life, even though I aspire to be an African, Buddhists might have been African for all we know. But we do know that it is successful and that it has helped a lot of people get across that bridge. And right now, I'm going to take you to the bridge. And if the water is ready, let's go over to the Care to Read room and start meditating and calling on our ancestors. I think the water is ready. I'm going to take you to the bridge. All right, ladies and gentlemen, get in position of prayer. As we begin to pour libation, ladies and gentlemen, it's very important that you should pour libation as a form of a ritual. And I'm trying to teach you to have rituals in your life. If you don't have an altar, you might want to set up one. And set up the personal things on that altar that you need, your candle, your 2 or 7 glasses of water, and utilize that altar on a day-to-day basis. As we pour libations to Oludumare, who is the higher self that resides within us. We're not talking about a God out there in the sweet by and by or in the atmosphere, the God who takes up residency within us. So in other words, Omi, you're talking to yourself. That's exactly right. You got it, little G. I'm talking to myself. The Godhead that resides within me is asleep. He's asleep in you, too, and he's slumbering. And he's anesthetized, and he's immersed underwater, and you've got to wake him or her up. And the way you do that is through going through circumstances. You stir and you push against the prick until you wake up that God and that giant comes alive in you. And every day that we do this procedure and ritual, we're waking up the Godhead within inside of us. Don't you feel more and more like God every day? Don't you feel like that you can tell God what it is you're going to do and he collaborates with you or she collaborates with you and you do that which you claim that you're going to do? Now let's pour libation in representing the Godhead in every one of you today. And we are not talking about the God that created the universe. We're talking about the Godhead that was placed in you, the essence that was placed in you, the one that takes up residency there. And I would like for you to stand with me as we pour libation to Oludumare. The Godhead is known as Ori Ashe. We pour libations to our Father Spirit who represents the man in white, Obatala, and we say Ashe. We pour libations to the mother figure. She is the woman of the oceans, of the lakes and the stream. She is Yamanja, and we say Ashe. We pour libations to the east, where the wind goes, Oye. We say Ashe. We pour libations to the west, and we say Oye, carry the wind to the west, Ashe. We pour libations to the north, and we say, oh, yay, carry the wind up north, I say. We carry the, we pour libations to the south, and we say, oh, yay, carry the wind to the south, I say. Ladies and gentlemen, you ought to do these rituals because they remind us of our ancestors who have departed from amongst us, not in our midst. We know the energy is still here, and we call on our ancestors and call out your family's names, those deceased ones who have made transition. Call out their names now if you would like to throw their names out, like Shakez Diop, Harriet Tubman, John Henry Clark, Dr. Carruthers. Call out their names, ladies and gentlemen. Call them out and ask them to recirculate themselves here. I call out Clara Mae Jenkins, Robert Jenkins, Tommy Pete Harvey. I call out Eugene Lilly, Tom Harvey. I call out Mary Lou Hawkins, Bessie Lilly, Clara Lilly. I call out the name of Isa Lilly, Ruby Lilly. I call these ancestors back into place and allow, ask them to allow me to crawl over their backs. If they are in that lagoon, if they're yet traveling down the Red Sea, if they are unbeknown to me, those ancestors who I've never met or don't know and don't have the names of, and if I can't remember their names, I call them back anyway and ask them to reconnect themselves with the better circle and the household. Now that the house is in order, we meditate on one word and one word of power. If you meditate with me, sit quietly meditating on nothing but mere air and space. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. You ought to save time and time for the Creator to have a relationship and to sit in his presence and to see what the King has to say to you. Your higher self speaks to you, and your first mind always speaks to you. Sometimes when you settle down long enough, you can hear your first mind. Some people don't want to hear their first mind. Their mind becomes very noisy, and we have to settle our mind throughout the day so that we can collect our thoughts. And in collecting our thoughts, we're talking about today, what are the benefits of being a tribe, and how can we develop a sweet relationship from being in a tribal situation? Now, as I talked to you before about the fact that we are looking at schools of thought, and the schools of thought we're looking at is the Eightfold Path right now. And the Eightfold Path is to work towards developing our consciousness so that we will become like our ancestors. At one time, you knew them by the way they loved one another, through their sweet relationships that they had and their strong commitment. And we're going to have to do like Harriet Tubman. We're going to have to learn to trust one another. Harriet Tubman could have freed many more people only if they knew that they were slaves. The majority of the people that she tried to free didn't even know they were in slavery. She had to allow a lot of people to perish because they didn't even know that they were in bondage. Now, I'm telling you, for those of you who are still yet in bondage and don't know your spiritual self and have not introduced yourself to God, the Godhead that lies dormant within you, it's time to wake God up. Ladies, it's time to wake God up. It's time to introduce yourself to your innermost core. It's time for you to look in the mirror and to say that there is a God in there, and I aim to press her forward. That's right. I'm speaking to you women. We've known for a long time that we weren't taken from a bone, and we've known a long time that we have been a part of the cornerstone. We've known that when God looked over to the right hand and said, let us make man, we've known that he was speaking to us. Now, you have to understand that it's not a sin in wanting to be like God, because he did say greater things that we will do than he has done. Now, where is the greater things? Where is the signs and wonders? Now, let's talk about the Eightfold Path. When we talk about the Eightfold Path, we must remember, we must understand that we are going through flux and change every day. And we're not the same yesterday as today. You have transitioned from one being to the next, from glory to glory. So we're transitional, and we are fluxing and changing. So we are not ourselves from last month. We are new creatures indeed. And being new creatures indeed, we are to become better and more better, like Spike Lee says, going from glory to glory. Now, if we want to become better at something, we have to aspire to work towards that. Now, we're talking about relationships in here. How many of you heard my confession about relationship? If you haven't, you got to go out and listen to it. I have to confess, there's nothing I can tell you that I haven't done for myself or haven't eaten of the message myself. Relationships are good, people. Let me make that clear. Relationships are good, and it is great to be in a relationship to share your life with someone. But you can't be in a relationship where there's turmoil and where there is greed and where there is frustration and strife. It has to be sweet. Oh, when a relationship is sweet. Everything is, yes, you can, darling, whatever you like. I'll do that little something for you, honey, whatever you like. It's a sweet thing, isn't it? Oh, yeah, you know it's a sweet thing. Go ahead on and say it. You know it's a sweet thing when that thing is uptight, all right, clean out of sight. You know that's a good thing, and people are marveling over it, and they're saying, look at how sweet he treats her. I wonder if I was nicer to my man, would he do the same thing and pull the chair out for me and talk sweet nothings in my ear? Yes, we all want to have those occasions around us, and you can get them. Yes, you can get them, but you have to understand that sweetness begets more sweetness. You understand what I mean? Sweetness begets more sweetness. When you put it out there in the atmosphere that you have no enemies and that everyone you will make your foe and that you're kind to everyone irregardless of what they think of you and that you're determined to be a sweet creature, then guess what? You can't help but to get back a response of a sweet response. What a sweet deal. It's a sweet deal. You can't go wrong when you are putting out the best that you have to give, irregardless of what it is he wants to do. You must remember, you make up your mind to be cordial and respectable and do everything in your power not to offend someone and try to understand that you're trying to help the planet to be a more safer and a more tolerable planet. And we want to keep down confusion. Some relationships are just off the chain. Girl, you better come on here. Man, you don't tell me what to do. I'm grown. I put this on all I love if you don't get over here. We all up and down the streets talking to each other like we animals. We're mammals. We're warm-blooded mammals. We're supposed to be a little bit higher than the animal class. We're not reptilians anymore. We came up out of that sea, but we became warm-blooded mammals, and that is what separates us from animals. We have attachment towards one another. That makes us different. So we don't have to go kicking each other around like we're rubbish or like we're animals. We can treat each other like we're going to be attached to each other, not just during the night, but tomorrow night too. Now, let me say this. It's easy for a man to love a woman who's sweet to him. Did you hear what I said? It's easy for a man to love a woman when she's sweet to him. And then when she says, not tonight, darling, he's not all upset about it because he knows she genuinely is sweet to him. Now, if she's always turning her back and saying, not tonight, he's going to want to know, well, what's the problem? Am I doing something wrong? Did I mess up or something? Why am I in the doghouse every night? And what do I need to do to get out of the doghouse? I'll tell you, try a little tenderness, try a little. You got to try a little tenderness. That's right. You got to try a little tenderness. Women like tenderness. That's what they like. They like tenderness. If you're going to say something to them, it's all in your tone and how you say it. And if you're going to say it with a little love and add a little sweetness in it. Then it's, I like how nice you said that word to me. and how nice and sweet and slow you said that. I like the way you put it on me like that. Just because you said it so nice, I'm going to oblige you. That's all you have to do for us. Man, I'm trying to tell you, it's all in your tone. If you come in there speaking over your voice and raising your voice like you're going to rearrange some furniture, like you want to move her like a fixture on the wall, then she's going to become intimidated, and she won't give you what it is you want or you're asking for. But it's very important, in order to have sweetness in a relationship, you got to be willing to give a little sweetness. Now, I'm not talking about going in there putting no sugar in somebody's beans, telling them I'm going to put some sugar in these beans and it's going to be some sweetness up in this house. You got to really act it out. You got to carry that part out. You can't be going in there clowning, talking about putting sugar in the food, because now you done rearranged the chemicals in the food and you might create a little poison, and that is not what I'm talking about. So please don't get it twisted. All right, sweetness, I know you out there somewhere. Why don't you call in, sweetness, 646-478-0270. Tell us how you're putting it down like that. Tell us how you sweet you are when you are going to that woman and you want her to make up her mind to do something unique for you or something special. But you got to be able to tell us how you put it on her and how sweet you are when you ask that woman to do something for you. Now, I've had men that come to me with their laundry, and they'll say, look, I don't have very much time, but I got all these clothes out here, and I got the blanket in the car, and I need to get to work. Can you wash these clothes for me? Can you wash them, and can you iron them up for me, because I'm going to need them for next week? I looked at the expression on their face, on his face, and I said, fine, no problem. Bring them on in the house. Now, at the same time, he said, I'm not going to ask you to do this without paying you. I will pay you. Now, that's the magic word, because my time is not to be toyed with, and my time is not to be wasted. Now, I'm on a job now, so I know I got to put forth my best effort. I cannot fling those clothes around, pass through them. I have to put my best effort in those clothes as if they've been to the cleaner. Now, when he gets those clothes back, he said, woo! Girl, what did you do? Did you put these clothes in the cleaner? You got them in plastic, and they all pressed and sharp. Oh, you got starch on them too? He's all over the place talking about these clothes and how clean and sharp they are and how you bleached his collars and made everything look good, but you don't know nothing about the fact that you had to set those clothes in water, bleach water overnight to get the stains out. You don't know nothing about the way you labor, but you put a little tenderness in them. Try a little tenderness. It'll do it every time. You put a little time in it. So now he's marveling about, ooh, she can clean, she can cook. She might want to be my wife. Now, as he began to add up two and two and compare you to other women, he's going to measure you up to see if you stand up to those other women out there who can't even boil water and don't know how to use an iron. And if you ask them about their ironing board, they say, what? Iron what? And if you talk to them about being a housewife, they're not having it because they're telling you, I don't do the domestic cleaning anymore. Women, you got to keep doing the domestic cleaning. You got to keep sharpening your skills because you're putting a little sweetness in the situation, so that he can brag on and on about how good you are in that kitchen when you make those baked beans. He's going to brag to his friend and his boss, girl, do you know when she makes baked beans, she put a little brown sugar in them. Woo, that's a sweetness for me. I love me some brown sugar. And he's going to go on and on and on about what you do in the kitchen and the way you clean house. Now, let me say this. If you're changing your attitude, that ground up face that looked like somebody threw mud in it because you're angry all the time, it's not going to work. You're going to have to clean up your act, clean up that smile. I don't care that you say that you can't smile. Do something to create a crack in the lip or something, but look like you're smiling. Don't come in the house mad all the time, dragging your feet, throwing your things all over the floor because you're angry because you had a bad day. Chuck it up. Come in and say, had a bad day today, but how was your day, darling? And if she's happy and things are going well at home, guess what? He's going to overcome. just about being all angry, and he is going to experience her charisma because her energy is going to permeate the room and change the atmosphere. That's what we're trying to do. We're trying to change the atmospheric pressure and bring a little lightheartedness into the situation. And as we teach each other about kindness and sweetness, then we can have a sweeter relationship. I remember when the men used to coo the women. They used to stand outside our window with 11 girls. They were trying to figure out which one of the girls they thought they wanted to marry. So they'd come outside the window and start singing. I touch you by a dolly, wow. You're the one that I've been waiting for forever. And if I bear with my love for you, keep growing strong and growing strong. If I could, I'd catch a falling star to shine on you so I know where you are. To show I love you, thinking of you, write your name across the sky. Yeah, they're singing those kind of songs. And those are the kind of songs that women used to like for men to adorn them with. Oh, yeah. And then they would always have these little lines that they would be dropping, and women would be blushing all over the place. I know us 10 girls did. We would be blushing all over the place and say, ooh, that man's in love with me. Did you see how sweet he was to me? And did you see that love song he sang for me? No, he sang that love song for me. I know that Betcha by Golly Wild was for me. And then we argue over who he was singing the song to. And sometimes the man had to date both of us because we both fell in love with him. Now, I'm telling you this because courtships are in style now. And you got to go out and get you a courtship. And you got to woo the woman. If you want her to be sweet and kind in the relationship, you're going to have to woo her. And these songs that I'm singing to you, you're going to have to do a better job than I did, and you're going to have to brush up on your talent and come back and say, I got game. I know I got game. And I'm going to be a fox, like out on a fox hunt. And it's a fox hunt, girls. I don't know what else to tell you. So you keep on keeping your stocks up high and don't let your stocks fall because it's a fox hunt. And the fox loves to keep and stay in the race. As long as you're not giving up anything, they're going to stay on those tracks. If you decide to cash in your bonds and stock before time, there's no longer a fox hunt. He don't have to even waste any more time with you. He's gotten what he wants. So it's important that you understand that we're talking about a relationship here. Developing relationships can be easy if you are going to understand that this is a sporting game. And the sporting game starts out with a competition. You're not in this thing for the long haul when you're sporting. You're sporting John this week, and then you're sporting Bob next week, so you don't want to get serious with any one of them. So don't go selling off your stock, women. Now, there's one thing about being sweet on John and another thing about letting John have his way with you. You have to understand that the cordial you are to him and respectful you are to him, the more respect he's going to have for you. Women are too easy these days. They got to stop being so easy, and they got to start being respectable women. And you must understand, you are not someone's bed partner, women, and you don't put yourself out there like that. You're respectable to yourself so that he can learn to respect you, and you become honorable to him. It's very important that you understand that you do not have to lay down with a man to get him to respect you. And you must understand you shouldn't be laying down with them until you develop a relationship. And relationships don't mean that you don't even know that man's name. You don't even know where he works at. You don't even know if he got insurance. You don't know nothing about him. And you're laying down with him producing a child. Now you got an imbecile you're bringing in the world, and you're wondering, what is my child going to grow up to be like? How could you wonder that if you laid down with someone that was truly an imbecile himself? You have to be very careful about who you beget children with. And women, I'm talking to you. Somebody out there needs to hear this because they're contemplating having a baby for someone they don't even know. We don't do those kind of things. Say it like Mother said. We don't do those kind of things. That is not a part of the African culture. You must remember, when you bring shame on yourself, you bring shame on the culture. This is a communal thing. You must not bring heat to the home or confusion to the home, because remember, you're a reflection of the whole family. And I'm trying to get you to understand how to keep sweetness in a relationship. So what if you say, well, if you don't hold my hand and don't let me sleep with you, I don't think I'm going to be a man. You tell him he'll continue to be a man because you keep seeing him as a man. And you tell him he can get on up and pull himself together and he'll be a man tomorrow. Don't let them play those games with you. And don't fall for all the games that they're giving you, telling you how they must have you become a full woman. Tonight's the night that I'm going to make you a woman. Don't let them come to you with that kind of stuff. Tell them you're already a woman. You don't need him to substantiate you, to make you a woman. Now you're going to lay down and go to bed with him because you want to feel like you're a woman. Let it be a choice that you make after you spend time getting to know this man and getting to understand who he is and does he have a plan. You must make sure that they come to you with a plan. And they have to have more than one plan, because when the first plan don't work, they have to have an escape goal. And I want you to understand, women, every man that comes to you should walk in there with a plan if they're serious about taking you to bed. If they're not serious about taking you to bed, then there is no romance before finance. Did you get me? No romance before finance. Our chat rooms are open, and if you'd like to come in and chat with me, come on, because I want you to get on this topic, because we're talking about a communal lifestyle, and we're talking about making our relationships more sweeter, not only in the bedroom, but in the boardrooms. And here we go, ladies. You can develop and establish a union with the man that you can start a business with. Here we got something where you can start a business with him. A man came up to me, and he had a proposal about a business. He said, I understand you're an administrator, and I might need you to help me write some contracts. Oh, I can get with you on that. He said, I might need you to help me write my contracts out so I can get more business. Lay the plan out there. Get with the brother on the business plan and show him how to do the doggone thing and show him how to make new marketing sales and help him to develop that business. That's a relationship. Then you can do that with him for 2 or 3 years. His money is just like his lady. He don't want to part with it. So you work with him on that business plan and develop yourself. And then you see yourself beginning to know that person, what he's all about, and then you can see how long he's going to stay with you. And it needs to be long enough for you to have children and raise them together. But if he's so quick to want to get you in the bedroom, and that's all he's talking about, and that's all he ever talks about, then you let him know that you don't need to appeal to my lower extremities. You need to appeal to my pineal gland and my brain and stimulate my mental capacity. And let him know that you're an intellect, and you are stimulated through the intellectual discussion. And when you begin to speak to him in that manner, he'll begin to see what manner of man he is with. And he will begin to respect you for who you are, and he'll know that you're not easy, and that every time you go out in the streets that you're like water, and that you're weak, and that he can get over, and so can other men get over. Now, we're talking about sweetness in a relationship, ladies and gentlemen. All fun aside, I want you to understand that more than anything, I want us to be sweet to one another. I want us to take time and be patient with each other and get back to the old roots of how we used to cuddle up under each other. And you couldn't tell the end from the beginning. You couldn't tell his dark skin from the light skin, because we were so into each other and we cared personally about each other, and we intimately enjoyed one another, and we were not shaming each other and destroying each other's character. We were about the business of building strong relationships, because we were a union. We became unity in the hood, and we knew that if we had the boss man who was running things in the hood, we had to be a strong woman to help him run that society as we walked alongside him. I want to see those societies come back again. I want to see us develop unions that are not necessarily intimacy unions, but unions that will help our culture, unions that will help stimulate our environment and our economic power. I want to see those things come back again. I know we can bring them back. I know that they are there for us, and we can love each other. My question is, who's loving you now? And why are we looking for love? And what is it that we need to do to bring that love back again? We've got to bring it back.
Simple, I love it, having you near. you hear.